scrambles left, winds up right behind. He's got time at the 10 to the 5. Yes! To the end zone. Touchdown. Darren Sproles gone. Touchdown, Eagles.
This is the Root NY Podcast, talking all things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Root NY.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Woot and Why, episode 54. I am Josh Woot for the second consecutive week. How are you, Josh Why?
I'm good. I'm also Joshua.
Yeah.
And I'm on the deflator diet.
Uh-huh.
I am on the deflator diet. Me and Mr. McNally from the Patriots organization, we've been doing the deflator diet for 9 months now. It's going really well.
Yeah?
I've deflated 9 pounds.
9 pounds.
Yep. It's great.
So what PSI are you currently sitting at?
A good
10.2. Wow.
Tom Brady's ideal working conditions.
That's very... Yeah, well, that's great.
Yeah. What's been happening?
Not too much. It's getting to the really quiet part of the off-season,
except for the Deflategate, which I feel is being sort of put on a pedestal because there's nothing else
going on. There's really nothing else. So every time I listen to the radio or something to do... By the way, not Australian radio. Yeah. US radio. But, just everything. They kind of just mention the NFL and NBA playoffs and then go back to Deflategate.
Deflategate again. It's kind of becoming a joke. Proof that the NFL is the king of everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, but yeah, I'm sick of hearing that story. We'll get to that later in the NFL news, but congrats to a recent, regular guest, I'll call him, and a friend of the podcast.
Yep.
He's often a fill-in when one of us aren't available.
Yep.
Or we're busy. Scott Langford got engaged to, we'll call it his best friend or his soulmate. Are we into that? Are we into that? Have we got any nice...
It's showtime.
Big Golden Pony
Boy. Oh, that's really good. AUS recruit.
Yes.
Also, yes.
That's... So shout out to AUS recruit. Give Scott a call. He's now, he's got someone else to look after. So put some money into his pocket. He's got a lovely lass to look after. She's a Giants fan and he's an Eagles fan. So yeah, it's a bit awkward.
He's got the upper hand at the moment, so...
Oh, that might change, but we're a couple episodes off from the bold predictions category. Some other news before we actually hit NFL news. The college football down under story has gathered some steam since we last spoke about it.
It has. It's wrong.
We've been on this for a while. I'm proud to say that.
Yes.
And we even went as far as to speak to sports geek Sean Callahan. Check out the Sports Geek or Sports Biz podcast. He actually had Dan Butterly, the public relations from Mountain West Conference, out here today, out down in Melbourne, doing a few seminars. And we asked him to ask Dan a question on our behalf, and he did it. And a lady was at the seminar. Her name is Jean Simmons. I don't know if that's any relation to...
Her name is Jean Simmons.
It's G-E-N. Is that Jen? It's weird. Jen's not supposed to be spelled like that. I'm going to go and say that the former member of KISS...
is the current member.
Are they still together?
I'm pretty sure they're still going around. Okay.
Well, she said, could we see an Australian bowl at Etihad Stadium? Dan Butterly thinks yes, possibly by 2017. Right? So that was the link that Sean sent us. So she was reporting on Sean asking that question for us. So we got it confirmed by Dan. And then... Mike Chiari, featured columnist of Bleacher Report, released an article and he quoted a tweet from Brett McMurphy, who's been on it as well. He's a college football reporter for ESPN. He says, bowl organiser says Australia good to go, ready to start Melbourne Bowl in 2016 with the Pac-12 and Mountain West Conference. And then Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review-Journal said that the game's been in the works for quite some time. He said Mountain West have been in talks for months about having a bowl game in Australia, a long way before it gets done, but it's possible. So it's more just passporting issues and actually getting two teams committed to a bowl game, but it's looking very...
So likely. Are they saying that it's going to be either one of Pac-12 or Northwest?
Yeah, Pac-12 team versus Mountain West conference.
Northwest.
Could see like a Boise State versus Utah. People are getting a little bit over-exaggerated thinking the Oregon Ducks are going to come down here. I can't see that happening.
Love that.
But Boise versus Utah will be a good game.
Yeah.
And as we've said, we don't care if it's, William and Mary versus Mars Hill. We'll go and watch
it. We don't care. Yeah.
I'll watch it, So it's good. It's fantastic. Bless you, man.
But that's nothing to sneeze at.
Oh!
Nah.
That's pretty much it in terms of news. The winner of our mock draft tournament is... Yeah, I haven't done it yet. I've been so busy. It's been a really busy week.
We really struggle to find time to fit this podcast in.
We've had to reschedule a lot, doing a lot of things, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we're working that's going to be all revealed in a few months.
When we say few, we mean 36 months.
Just keep an eye out the next 3 to 5 years for that one. But no, yeah, I'll announce it next week when we're back on our regular time slot. And everyone that's won our competitions, please hang in there. You'll be getting your prizes probably, late this month, early June. Shout out to Top Better and Big Dog Australia for the prizes they've supplied to us. And then keep an eye out in the coming months for our NFL tournaments with Top Better. We're going to get into the details.
I can't wait for those stuff.
They're going to be awesome.
I can't wait. It's going to be great.
I am so excited.
Yeah.
All right, NFL news. All right, you ready for this? I'm going to do this as fast as I can.
Go for it.
Just a defake link. So Tom Brady was suspended 4 games. Pats fined $1 million and they lose the first and fourth round pick in 2016. Then New England released a private blog website, which was like 20,000 words that had some fair arguments and some mixed arguments, such as the deflator was a weight loss term that we discussed earlier. Brady hires Kessler as his lawyer, who is like extreme, basically.
He is pretty much the extreme.
He is the Harvey Specter of the NFL.
Oh, he is. And also, the whole thing coming out that... Hang on, actually, don't worry.
Let me finish.
It's listed, so I...
Yeah. Then the commissioner appoints himself the arbitrator of the appeal, and then Brady's team are going to call the commissioner as a witness. Now breathe.
Whew. How cool is that? That
sounds like a Previously On Suits.
Previously On Suits. Yeah, no, that's... What a sly move that is. It's just so cool. When I read that, I was like...
It's like a tennis match.
At the slow cut, no matter how you feel about it, you got to go, well played.
Oh, it's great. It's like, but the commissioner returns serves. Like, you know what? Fine. I'll put myself as the arbitrator. I don't do it often, but I'll do it. And then I go, you know what? I'm going to call you as a witness, buddy. So, man, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that. Actually, probably not. You'd probably die of thirst. We'll go for hours. But it would just, I'm going to say it. I'm a lawyer, so I'm intrigued by all this. It's not your everyday law. Like, I don't understand much about the American law system to the Australian law system already, but then the NFL's its whole set of rules. And it could go to the federal court, which is bizarre. Yeah. Not bizarre, but it's...
And then you've got the whole backstory, is Kraft going to sue the NFL if it doesn't...
The whole, the deflator in the text messages referring to himself as... someone from weight loss was just...
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
There was a lot of that in there, but then there was a lot of like, whoa, hold on a minute. That makes a lot of sense. But then they just undo it all.
For every paragraph you thought, wow, that explains something. The next one would be like, that doesn't explain this.
No, it's like, it's sort of like, you're like, oh, good point. It was like a really... If you're watching that in a movie, like every good scene would be undone by the redundant, crappy scene afterwards. So it sort of negated the whole thing. But I didn't read the whole thing, but it was just too long for me. But it was crazy. They just made like a blog, like on a WordPress.
It's insane. But then it was like a really clean, polished blog. But yeah, it was minimal. I know.
Anyway, next bit of news, we'll go from something really serious. And by the way, I think... Maybe Tom Brady will get it down to 2 games, which is, I think, fair. 2 games. I don't think he should go unpunished, because when you look at everything, it seems likely that he was involved. So I think 2 games is
fine. One thing that kind of annoys me, though, right, is I know the Patriots needed to be punished as well. Yeah. They were punished so heavily.
Oh, yeah, and if Brady gets nothing and then it's just $1 million fine and loss of picks, that's unfair.
That's insane. Patriots organization. Plus, the fact that they were, like, completely...
Yeah, I'm convinced Belichick had nothing to do with it. Yeah, like, absolutely.
And then the next time I think, he knows everything.
I know, but it's like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't want to talk about it too much. We spent way too much time on it last
We're not going to spend much on it, and then we just kept rambling. Right.
Anyway, Tony Romo joined Twitter, and he just tweets, first tweet, number 9, being really conservative with the character limit, I appreciate that, respect. Yeah. Second one was like, it was a catch. Post a photo of Dez holding the ball. Just trolls the world. That's all he's done on Twitter since.
It's pretty good.
I like Roma.
Yeah.
You're not a fan.
Oh, I'm not. I don't hate. I, I'm I'm not the one to diss him and say that he's not a good person, but
you would love him on the Cowboys, on the Eagles.
Ooh, no, I don't think I would.
You would? Really? Oh man, he's the best. He's quarterback got
a slow release.
Division.
He's got a slow release.
He's got a
I say slow trainer. Release. You watch. I'm going to get blasted by Laurie at the moment.
I would consider him. Laurie's going to torture you. Just like Tony Romo's going to torch the Eagles this year twice.
Ooh. Maybe.
It was a bit late. bad fall for Tony Romo, which would stop him being MVP of Twitter, which we need to do a power rankings of players' Twitter games.
Yeah, there's so many of them.
There's some good ones.
Facebook would be easily won by Terrell Suggs.
Oh, yeah, he's like a Facebook prodigy.
Wizard. He's just everything he posts.
All these people share his stuff that we know don't watch NFL, don't know who Terrell Suggs even is.
Yeah.
But, you know, Darnell Dockett would be up there. Pat McAfee's pretty good. But Tony Romo's downfall is he's the only person that Skip Bayless follows on Twitter now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't hate Skip Bayless because he gave us so much
he does.
Content
he does.
For March Madness. So.
Skip Bayless. Alright, Saints coach Sean Payton said during the first round, said Saturday that first round offensive lineman Andres Pete has worked mostly at right tackle during the team's rookie minicamp. What do you think that means for Zach Strief, the fifth ranked right tackle by Pro Football Focus in 2014 with a 10.9 overall grade?
It's interesting.
It is.
I like Andres Pete. He was my highest rated tackle or offensive lineman.
I wasn't a huge...
Really?
No.
He was my highest rated.
It was really inconsistent for me.
Well, anyway, when did he go?
He's got the highest ceiling, but I think he's got the lowest floor. Like, he could be like a Matt Khalil-style bust for me, but he could also be an All-Pro.
Well, Zach Strief, where does he go?
Well, could they push Zach Strief inside? I don't know.
Because ever since they got rid of Grubbs.
They do need a left guard. They do need a left guard.
So can you go from right tackle to left guard?
It's a huge move. I don't know. It is, and it's bizarre. But
I don't know. He's
nearing
30
years old.
The Saints
are
doing some really weird things right now. They're trying to become this run-based team.
Which I guess we'll get to later on.
Yeah. So I don't know.
It's weird, but yeah, as we said, Jari Evans and Zach Strief are 30 years old. So, do you know what? I'd push Strief inside a right guard because Jari Evans was poo last year.
Yeah, see, that's interesting.
Of all the players that they kept, I thought Jari Evans would have been the first that they released. Remember when we had Shane on?
Yeah, and he's being paid so much.
I think he's like the third highest paid offensive lineman in the league, and
he was
ranked like
120. The last five or something, yeah.
It was bizarre.
Anyway.
Yep.
Cardinals coach Bruce... Is it Arians or Arians?
Arians.
Arians?
Bruce Arians, man.
Bruce Arians?
Arians. Depends where you're from.
I'm from the Arians area, so... Cardinals coach Bruce Arians went out of his way to pour praise on running back David Johnson, calling the rookie very, very bright and set for an immediate role in Arizona.
Yeah, he said the kid can do anything as far as a wide receiver, running back, fullback. He'll find a niche quick because he can learn so much. Now, I don't like normally putting coaches talking up draft picks in May in my, you know, my news because we hear it a lot. We're hearing it every day.
We're hearing the talk about Hain.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get to that, but we're gonna finish with that in our news. But Bruce Arians is renowned for. But last year, all we heard about was John Brown, and that was legit. And John Brown was a guy that no one really heard of.
They said he kept saying last year that he was just gonna keep giving Ellington the ball, and he did. He just kept giving it.
He did, and he said that too. He said we're gonna keep giving Ellington the ball, but David Johnson will find his way on the field, and he will find a niche in this. And I believe him. So. And look, he was spot on about John Brown, and he was spot on the year before about Tyrann Mathieu. So Bruce Arians, he's a straight shooter. It's not all talk, whereas a lot of the coaches, they just say something positive for the sake of it, or because they're asked by reporters that are just looking for something to write about in May. So, but I like it. I like David Johnson. We're a fan. We had Josh Buchanan on, who had him ranked second, I think, in his small school draft rankings, which is pretty good. All right, last bit of news. You mentioned Hain.
Yeah. Jim Tomsula calls Hain a neat guy. And just watch everything. You watch Australian media blow up.
They went berserk. There was a lot of hot takes.
He was called a neat guy.
He's a neat guy.
That means he's a starting running back for the 49ers. Breaking news. On ESPN, he's their... on the depth chart on ESPN, he's their kick returner.
Already?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I asked this on Twitter. When was the last time a team held a specialist kick returner? Just used a roster spot just on a kick returner that offered zero elsewhere?
That offered zero elsewhere? What about if for the fact that, like, he was, like, a fifth wide receiver and never saw the field?
Yes, but even, like, people say Devin Hester, but when he was with the Falcons, they used him. They used Lee in Washington in Seattle as well. Not so much, but he's the last person that comes to mind. But are you really going to carry Carlos Hyde, Kendall Hunter, Reggie Bush, Mike Davis, then have a fifth running back on your roster just because he can return kicks?
I know he's a running back too, but DeAnthony Thomas didn't do very much for Kansas City.
No, but he's
got the potential to do anything.
Yeah, but he's a stud. Yeah. Like, you need to be an elite kick returner. So unless Hain can do that, we don't know. I'm just putting some, you know, ice on the fire. Settle down.
And really think he can be like a gunner or something.
But then he needs to at least have the upside where he can play on the field. Like, carrying five running backs week to week is going to be, like, it's nuts. Unless he has some sort of, you know, plans for him at fullback or something like that. But they have Miller, so it's tough.
Philadelphia have it, like, their backup safety, Maragos, he only pretty much plays on special teams.
Yeah, but he can play safety if something happened with an injury, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but still, I think they would have the same, like, backup option for him to play fourth-string running back or something.
It is, and Tom Sula actually poured fire after he's put some water on that as well. He said, look, there's no pads here, he's still fielding balls and running around in shorts and a T-shirt.
Did I stutter?
T-shirt, and then he said, look, he's still essentially playing rugby, we're not in pads yet, so let's just wait and see. But he said
all this means nothing until you put pads on. It's so different.
So meaningless. And as we have said from day dot, we know how much of a good athlete he is. We've seen it in the NRL. We know he's a freak. We know he's that. And Kaepernick, Bush said it, everyone said it. Doesn't matter if he can't understand plays, if he doesn't know how to hit that A gap or that B gap or how to hit that blocking assignment.
And if he starts running with a helmet on and he's completely, you know, uncoordinated.
Yeah, that's it. He needs to understand the playbook, and he might pick it up better than we think, but we don't know. We can't grasp it.
No one can. No. So that's just all.
We can't, even if Hayne says, I'm picking it up pretty well. Well, how do you measure pretty well? You know? Exactly. Last bit of news before we hit the weird web story. Is we're not talking about the top 100 at all.
Okay. No.
Because I don't like the way it is. Well, I don't. We don't. The way it's made. We found out on around the NFL, Lindsay Rhodes, she hosts the top 100, said that each player has to put 20 names down that they think are the 20 best players in the NFL, and that's how they come up with a list. So how does Darren Sproles end up on a top 20 list and then get in at 81?
If you were to pick your top 20 players...
Yeah.
You know, nearly 10 of them could be quarterbacks.
That would... my top 10 would be quarterbacks, probably. Like, it's just... Yeah. I don't understand how it works.
I can understand if they said, pick your top 5 at each position.
You go. Work it out that way. But, yeah, it's silly. All right.
You gotta get out of here. This is crazy. You're so weird.
No. You're really weird.
You're so weird.
Weird Web Store's back.
I love that intro.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I made that myself.
I really do.
I'm proud of that. You're really weird. Washington rookie quarterback Connor Halladay is walking away from the NFL before taking a snap in minicamp. According to Liz Clark of Washington Post, Halladay was not present during the team's first rookie minicamp Friday, with a source saying the former Washington State signal caller opted to retire. So basically, after passing on the opportunity to take a quarterback in this year's draft, the Washington Redskins have appeared to have their long shot in Washington State's Connor Halladay. But when the 3-day rookie minicamp got underway Friday, Halladay was not present and no longer on the roster, the team confirmed. According to a source, Halladay decided to retire before his NFL career. John Gruden says, I can't speak for the decision that he's made. Gruden told reporters Saturday he just chose to jump on a plane and head to the house. Haven't had a chance to talk with him. He left me a voice message.
Wow.
So, two questions for you. One, is the reason he didn't want to play in Washington because I would not want to be part of Jay.
You wouldn't say retire then. You could just say, I don't want to play for you.
Yeah, no, but then who are you? You're an undrafted free agent rookie that no one really cares for.
Yeah.
And my second question is, what's the worst thing you've done? What's the worst thing you've said on a voice message? What have you done?
That's in some really weird drunk things.
Hello, once... Cindy. It's over.
Not drunk things, but...
Ooh. Yeah. Saucy.
No, once I accidentally...
I look around and I think we got a spazzy team.
Once I thought I was calling a mate...
Darling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drunk darling. We're out at a soccer season, end of season soccer thing. And I thought I was calling my mate, leaving a voicemail, but I was calling when I previously worked at my part-time job at Coles, and I just left this long voicemail on one of the voicemail things at the back. That wasn't terrific.
All right, well, something happened to me in voicemail a couple of days ago. That's why I chose this story.
Yeah.
I was at work, and I needed to ring a client's daughter to ask some questions.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have her number on file, so I said to one of our receptionists, can you track down the number? She sends me the number. I call the number, and it says, 4-6-4-4 isn't available right now. Please leave a message. So I leave this long message. I don't have, like, huge amount of details. I'm just explaining a situation. And I mentioned just first names and stuff like that. And then I said, where did you get the number from? She's like, oh, the white pages. And I was like, what? And then the daughter came in. And then left her details, and it was completely the wrong number.
Have you got the call back?
Nah. So I left this huge long message about this situation, about trying to get documents and all that on some random's voicemail.
Actually, here's another story. Speaking of voicemails, I have to call people like all day trying to get information from customers and things. Mm-hmm. And I called a man, and he's a Russian man.
Vladimir.
Yeah. So I called him.
We'll call him that.
And left a voicemail and, you know, said, call me back on my number if you have any questions. I get a call back, and then he's, like, he's a Russian man, and, you know, he's like, hello, my name is Olov, right? Olof. Oh, seriously, his name was Olov, and then he goes, my English not very good, I put my friend on, right? So I'm like, okay, guess who he puts on? Some Irish guy.
Oh, and he's
like, oh, hello, and then he's like, Olof, did you send somebody money? And it was the weirdest conversation I've ever had.
Oh my god.
And that happened all day, so.
That's cool. Sounds like a start of a joke, you know. An Irishman.
An Irish, a Russian, and a. Nothing.
Alright, well,
next.
We're finished.
That was a bad joke. Everyone laughed. Where are we up to?
We are about to be joined by Neil Dutton from UK End Zone. So let's get him on the line. We're going to talk some fantasy football.
It's showtime.
All right, joined on the line by Neil Dutton. Neil is a fantasy writer for UK End Zone. He's an Eagles fan, just like you. We've got way too many Eagles fans on this show.
There's a lot of Eagles fans on this podcast.
He's a specialist gully fielder on the cricket field. And we're going to ask him about this. He is the lover of stale bread.
Really?
Yes, and
there's
he's
not too many of those.
No, he's the co-host of the MDDF podcast of the UK End Zone, which is Mains and Dutts Discuss Football, and that focuses on fantasy football and gambling, two of our, you know, loves.
Passions.
Yeah, pretty much what we spend most. That's what the internet was made for, right? How are you going, Neil?
I'm very well, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. Finally, we've been in discussions for a little while. And the opportunity has presented itself.
Yep, the world has come together correctly.
Yes.
Our second British guest.
Who was our first one?
12.
Who? 12. Oh, 12, yeah. Well,
of course.
He's not really a Brit. Neil, before we start, we're going to talk fantasy stock reports. So we're going to do some risers and fallers as a result of the draft. Please tell us about your stale bread, because finally someone's going to cop it more than me, who's been slaughtered for not liking cheese.
Well, the stale bread, on the Dave Damashek football programme, they have a gentleman called Handsome Hank,
yes,
who's from England, and he spuriously claimed that they didn't have pretzels in England, and I was able to call in to the show at one point, and Dave Damashek did ask me to disprove this theory, and I said, no, there are pretzels in England, they're just very hard to get. Handsome Hank then changed his tack to say, no, there are pretzels, but why would anyone want to eat them? They taste like stale bread.
Ah.
And I said, well, I actually quite like stale bread. it came out quite weirdly, but it is what I meant. And producer Black Tie did manage to capture these words for posterity and at regular intervals does play them. So I'm the spokesman for stale bread around the world.
The only spokesman for stale bread.
It's not a hotly contested title, no.
No. Our Black Tie is also known as Producer TD for all those playing at home. Champion bloke. We love TD. Before we get started, in your intro, I forgot to tell everyone your Twitter handle. So you want to spread some love for that?
Oh, yes. It's at mdutton1313. I use 13 because 13 is supposed to be unlucky, but I embrace the unluckiness of 13s, therefore it has no power over me. That hasn't worked yet, but it sounds like a good story.
Yeah. So, an unlucky stale bread lover.
Yeah.
That's me, yep.
All right.
That's my epitaph.
Jesus. All right. We've got an interesting half an hour ahead of us. All right, so we're going to do some stock watch, I'm going to call it. You know, Wall Street, fantasy football. The two are related. One's more important than the other, and that's fantasy football. So, Neil, start us off. Who has improved their stock after the 2015 NFL draft?
Well, there's quite a few people that have improved just by literally where they've ended up. The biggest one for me is Melvin Gordon. Obviously, it was one of those spots where they were crying out for a running back in San Diego because they've been pretty hopeless running it last year. They tried to, but, you know, it's the same way that I try to lose weight. You know, I'm not really committed to it, but I like to say that I am. And Melvin Gordon, the big name, obviously, the running back was Todd Gurley. He's probably going to start the season on PUP, so you can't really rely on him. Greg Cassell, who I will, in occasional moments, I will bow to his superior knowledge. He says that, where are we here? No, I got that wrong. Sorry, they say that the good people of San Diego, the situation and opportunity have come together. Tom Telesco is their GM. He says that Gordon's the best pass-protecting back in the draft. He's either lying or an idiot, but that doesn't mean that Gordon's not a good player. And the fit he's got, you know, he's got a good chance to be the highest scoring rookie running back, in my opinion, because Donald Brown, seriously, Donald Brown plays well against Tennessee, but then doesn't play well against anyone else. I think someone said he's like Jim Brown against Tennessee, but Charlie Brown against the rest of the league.
Who do you think is the backup there? Brandon Oliver or Woodhead?
I think they'll probably both be. I think Oliver showed flashes last year but then fell away, whereas Woodhead's really just been a small wide receiver trapped in a very tiny running back's body. So I think for like third down work, even though, you know, Tom Telesco says what a wonderful pass blocker Gordon is, I think Woodhead's still going to get his share of the receiving work. He was one of the most targeted running backs, especially in the red zone, in 2013, and he was probably going to be the same last year before he got crocked.
If they didn't pay Don Brown such a huge amount of money, I would say that he's in like a danger of missing out on the final roster.
Yeah.
But they've had so much bad luck with injuries lately, I think they'll hang on to him. But I agree, you don't need to sell me on Donald Brown. I watched him struggle in Indianapolis for years, and his best highlight is Peyton Manning literally yelling, "Damn it, Donald!" when he completely misses a pass block. So for Tom Telesco to be talking Melvin Gordon up as a pass blocker, that's probably a good thing that he's going to see the field a lot. And as a Badgers fan, I know what Melvin Gordon can do, and people mention him catching the ball out of the backfield. There's no problem with that in his game. It's just not as strong as the other parts in his game. So I think Neil's on the money. I think he will be the top ranked running back, rookie running back in 2015. Who's your riser?
My riser. It's hard here. We've made a short list, and I was actually just thinking, I was so against one of them that you had.
Get up with it.
I might use your mate here.
Okay.
Frank Gore, I reckon, is like falling into the ideal position, the perfect position. You've got an offense that, you know, is just firing on all cylinders.
Yes.
And they've always, you know, preached that they want to run the ball more. However, they've just been unlucky. They've just been completely unlucky with their situations. And,
well, they've been Trent Richardson.
You gotta be kidding me. I mean, how do you watch him?
Exactly.
They stink.
Frank Gore is in an ideal position. However, they're not just the offense. It's the defense has gotten slightly better. So it's not always going to be Andrew Luck throwing to get back into it. I think
they'll be closing out games on the ground.
So they might be closing out a few more games. Plus, their backups for running back, I just don't find that they're going to, you know, take too many carries away from Frank Gore.
Yeah, and that's why I had him on the up list, because there was a lot of... I follow Colts draft Twitter closely, on Twitter. So your draft Twitter on Twitter makes a lot of sense. They were expecting the Colts to take a running back probably in the first three rounds. The fact that they didn't, I think, is a good sign that Gore is... and there was lots of photos going around of him taking handoffs at Andrew Luck during training, that Gore is going well, and they think he's still got plenty left in the tank. So I think Gore is, and we talked about pass protection, he's incredible at it, and I think he'll be on the field he'll be a three down back. And I think he's, there's no real threat to his position because of the draft.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I will go with TJ Yeldon. I'm not a huge fan of the player, but the fact that the Jaguars picked him a little too early for my liking means that they will have to start him, come week one at the running back position. I'm not a huge fan, but I believe his situation has resulted in him, rising up rankings. I had him ranked a bit lower before the draft, but now that he's landed in a starting position, you have to take him higher. I worry about their offensive line still. I would have preferred them to take maybe a Jake Fisher in round two and then addressed, they got lucky that AJ Can fell to them in the third round. So I think he's an upgrade over Zane Beadles there on the offensive line. So I think he'll generate some interest, but their offensive line is just horrid. Denard Robinson, a lot of his fantasy points were off one run where he made, people miss because of his blazing speed. I don't know if Yeldon's got that ability, but they have made improvements. And I hope he doesn't go at the same ADP as Toby Gerhardt last year, or he'll be a complete bust. But yeah, I think his stock has definitely risen. Would you agree, Neil?
I would. It's as you say, it's fit and opportunity seem to have come together. It was about Yeldon that Greg Cassell said. He thinks he's laterally quicker and more explosive inside runner than Melvin Gordon, which it's quite heady praise. Talk about his ADP at the moment. I think according to Fantasy Pros, he's going at 106th on average, which isn't a bad spot to take him. Yeah. You're not falling, as you say, saying, "Oh, well, Toby Gerhardt, he's going to lead the league in carries." No, he's not.
Gerhardt was going in like fourth round last year.
It happens draft. Every season, yeah, though. There's always slowly these rises. Couple. It's just everyone starts to heap emphasis on running backs, and they fly up the board.
Yeah,
I was in a couple of drafts last year where not only were people taking Toby Gerhardt ridiculously early, they were joyously rubbing it in people's faces that they were doing. It was like, I've stolen there. Yeah, but it's one of those thefts that no one wants to recover.
It's like stealing a iRiver, and then the iPod came out a week later. You
know? Good analogy.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything that just came to mind.
That's good.
I was trying to think of something other technology, but hopeless. Yeah, anyway. So I agree, Neil. Opportunity and, and the fit there definitely helps him rise. Who's your next riser?
Well, I was tempted to say Nelson Agholor because I have a serious man crush on him, but I'll try and be objective because, I might actually burst into tears of poor joy talking about him.
Can you do that? We've never had a man cry on our show, so I reckon you should go in Nelson.
I'll try and build up to it. I'll try and surprise you with it a bit later on.
All right.
It sounds like it's been planned now. I'll say Andre Ellington, which, there are a lot of people speculating that Arizona were bound to take a running back because Ellington showed that he can't really handle the load. But then they didn't. They took David Johnson, who Bruce Arians basically comes out and says, he can do anything. He's finding his niche. So you mean he's going to be a change of pace back and you're still going to overload Ellington?
Well, we just talked about David Johnson in our news section, and we don't normally talk about, coaches hyping up players, but Bruce Arians did this last year with John Brown, and he was spot on, and he did it the year before with Tyrann Mathieu, and he was spot on. And we had Josh Buchanan on our show, and he said David Johnson could actually play wide receiver at times. So I think that both can have fantasy value, and that's why Ellington was on the list. So I still agree with you there that that he'll be a change of pace back.
Mm.
To be honest,
I still think.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, basically the as you say, Bruce Arians tends to be a man of his word, and he said that Ellington's role is not going to change. Mm, so
exactly.
In terms of volume, he's still going to be the guy.
Yep.
I think they might end up. Ellington was so successful when he was playing, you know, catching passes and things more than he was doing last year when he was kind of trying to run between the tackles and things. So I think, you know, it's difficult because you hear David Johnson that he can, you know, catch the ball and things like that. So it's kind of like...
I think they're going to do a lot of two-back sets like Philly did with Sproles and McCoy.
Yeah, there could be a lot of splits here.
Yeah. But then, look, you look at... Ellington was a stud when he was taking 10 to 15 carries a game. And he was making... He was fresher, he was healthier... His speed was better. When he was handling that higher workload, the yards per carry dropped. And look, you look at the improvements they made on that offensive line now. And now he's going to be fresh with David Johnson helping out as a change of pace. I think most people will probably take him later because they're worried about David Johnson's impact. But I think it's the reverse.
To be honest, I probably won't pick him.
You think he'll still go too early for you, or...?
I don't want the risk on my team. I'm very conservative when I make my picks. And
what about you, Neil?
He's one of those people I do... the talent is there that, you know, we've seen that he can be productive, but the fear is that they'll break him. And again, it's a problem I'd rather see someone else have. I mean, I should point out, last year in one league, because I steadfastly refused to draft him, I ended up taking DeMarco Murray in the fifth round of a draft. Because I told all and sundry, don't touch him, he's going to break. What? It's pointless, waste of a draft. And then he fell to me and I wasn't happy about it. At the end of the season, I was happy.
Yes.
So, you know, me ignoring someone isn't a sure sign that the door's going to close on him.
That's right.
That's good.
I would love David Johnson. I think he might be a good late-round pickup because, as you said, Ellington is a bit fragile. If he goes down for a season-ending injury, David Johnson could be an absolute steal for someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll take my next pick. We've spoken a lot about running backs, so I'm going to change it up. I'm going to go with Charles Johnson, the Minnesota wide receiver. The fact that Devante Parker was there and the Vikings passed on him and they could have linked him up with his former, you know, quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater shows me that they have faith in Charles Johnson's ability. I'm not convinced Mike Wallace is their number one wide receiver. I believe Mike Zimmer when he says Charles Johnson is for real. And he is their number one wide receiver. I love what he can do. He's an outside and inside player. I like Charles Johnson. I know you do as well, Josh.
What happens to Cordarrelle Patterson?
He will sit and have a waste paper bag with some goon in it and just drink it on the sideline.
What?
He's rubbish. He's rubbish. When he can learn to run a precise route, he can play on the field.
This is pretty much exactly like the wide receiver of Gerhardt's last year. Everyone's just...
Toby Gerhardt, if you drafted Toby Gerhardt and Cordarrelle Patterson, you're probably wearing a dress or
some other got kind a tattoo of punishment.
At your league at the end. I love Charles Johnson. I don't know where his ADP is at the moment. Maybe Neil could fill us in, but I really like him. And towards the end of the year, he and Teddy Bridgewater had a really good connection going on. And I think Mike Wallace there doesn't hinder at all. I think it helps. You know, teams might be more prone to putting the better corner on Wallace.
I think as well the thing with Charles Johnson, he did show last year that he was the best receiver in Minnesota, which, you know, again, it's a bit like being the best singer in One Direction. It's hardly a hotly contested role. But
hey, you leave Zayn out of this.
Hey.
But they've got the further, you know, the off-season of Teddy Bridgewater, who has shown he's probably going to have a good season. I like Teddy Bridgewater. They brought in Mike Wallace, who's, you know, the ultimate one-trick pony in the NFL. You know, just run very fast, Mike. Thanks very much. That's great. And the best thing, of course, for everyone in the team, they've probably got Adrian Peterson back.
Yep.
So that's a lot more attention going to him. It's going to open it up for Johnson and for Wallace, if you want. Cordarrelle Patterson in 6 months' time is going to be selling insurance or something. So, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about him.
Save 12% on Geico with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Despite, again, I saw this morning that Mike Zimmer was saying, oh, no, he's improved. He looks a lot better than last year. Yeah, it'd be hard for him to look worse.
That's true, exactly. Wow. Learn to run a precise route before you, you know, that's it. And they drafted a couple of tackles in Tyrus Thompson and, of course, TJ Clemmings in the fourth round. So they're going to be, and Austin Shepherd out of Alabama. So they're gonna beef up that offensive line. And I like Charles Johnson.
When it comes to fantasy, do you try to avoid injury-prone players, or do you just think, you go into the mindset, you know, if they're not injured, they're going to be terrific?
See, that it's so hard to work out, because Dante Fowler is a perfect example. Never been injured in his college career. First, like, you know, one of the earliest, first day of minicamp, tears his ACL out of the blue.
Yeah.
They're just so unexpected. It's so hard. Same with Adrian Peterson. That was,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I try to avoid it, like someone like Ryan Matthews in play, like I've never drafted. Same with, you know, Hakeem Nicks after his injury seasons. I've had him 2 years in a row, and I hated it. Not last year, but
yeah.
A couple of years before that. So I avoid it like the plague.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's just, I just wanted to know this.
You're just trying to suss me out for our main draft.
Ooh, that's
months away. Maybe I'm lying. Yeah.
It's months away.
That's right. Your next riser, Mr. Wooten.
I was going to talk about Aguilar, but I don't want to... I want Neil to cry later, so... Yeah. Interesting. Probably, I might have to talk up another running back. Sorry.
That's cool.
Latavius Murray.
Mm.
The fact that Oakland didn't draft a running back.
Yep.
And they picked up Roy Helu, who I feel is he's the perfect complement to Latavius Murray. I just think they've done such a good job getting rid of McFadden and, you know, cleaning up their shop pretty much, and then bringing in Latavius Murray. We saw that first game that he had.
Against Kansas City.
Kansas City.
On my bench.
And he was on your bench.
Yeah,
how many did he end up scoring?
26 points.
It's insane, but he ran for like 200 yards or something, didn't he?
Off two carries.
It was just amazing. Yeah, anyway.
I think he had more than MJD's career in Oakland in two carries.
Wow. Anyway, kind of like Frank Gore, I'm talking about situation here. Mm. It's just, situation is such a big thing for a running back. Same as Melvin Gordon. We've pretty much just followed the same theme. It's about just their situation and who they have behind them, and Latavius Murray is in a perfect position for that. However, I do fear that he might lose, you know, goal work with Roy Helu, because he's a great goal line back. So
it is tough, and when you think about Oakland, they'll be behind in a lot of games as well, so maybe they might abandon the run game early. But you're in a Tom Musgrave offense who's responsible for, you know, Adrian Peterson's 2,000-yard season.
Yep.
They brought in Rodney Hudson, and they drafted John Felicio.
Wow.
Oh my God. Neil, can you help me out here before I put my foot further down my throat?
I'm always a fan of watching people put foot down throat.
Of course you are. Thoughts on the Latavius Murray, kind sir?
It's always risky saying that, you know, you like someone at Oakland.
Yes.
Because they've just they've not really had many people. They haven't even had the Toby Gerhardt of this world in the last few years to say, well, you know, I'm going to take him because he could, you know, he could shock people, because they just, they're tragic. I hate to say it, because it's the Oakland Raiders. They're one of the faces of the NFL, but they're awful. So it's, Murray's one of those players, he could be good, but the problem with having Musgrave as your offensive coordinator is he can suck the offensive spirit out of anything.
Yeah, he can.
You know, David Carr, you know, should look what happened to Nick Foles last year with him as a quarterback coach and say, you know, oh my God, this is what I can do to you. He'll probably run the ball, try and run the ball, but again, it's that, we want to run the ball, I want to lose weight. You know, we'll see how it goes at the end of the season.
Did you say David Carr? Because, God, I hope David Carr is not playing for Oakland.
No, it's one or the other. I'm sure he could ruin them both.
You have to be confident that, you know, the Oakland offense is improving. You know, with Amari Cooper there now and Derek Carr in his second year, there's got to be at least some love for Latavius.
Oh, yeah, there's a little bit. Because, as you say, I mean, they seem to be, rather than going through this thing of changing the whole offense, you know, getting a different quarterback, different running back, different wide receiver, which they seem to do periodically, there seems to be some continuity that Derek Carr's going to be the guy. Then they're going to have Murray still there. They've got Amari Cooper. They've got Rivera at tight end. So they seem to have pieces that, if left alone, could build this chemistry. And Murray's shown that he's got big playability. I mean, against Kansas City, I always do that. I get into trouble for that. He does show that he can, you know, he can bust off big runs. It's a question of, is he ever going to get a position where he can have a high volume workload so he can see just how good he is.
Yeah, that's it. All right, Neil, one of your last your risers before we move down to the fallers.
Okie dokes. Charles Johnson at the moment going 37th overall. Oh,
thanks for that. That's pretty high.
That is very high.
Is that among wide receivers or overall?
That's overall.
Overall,
really?
Yeah. Oh, hang on.
Whiz. You're not having overall.
It must be wrong. Yeah, 37. ADP, 37.
Why not? You can have him.
No, I won't take him to 37. Thank you very much. You got to speak about Nelson Aguilar right now, or you're gonna.
Okay, I'll speak. I'll try and stay strong for everyone. Chip Kelly has shown what he can do with, you know, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin in that X receiver spot. Everyone seemed to think that they'll draft someone and push Jordan Matthews outside, but Aguilar can do both. He's probably going to play in the X because, again, Chip Kelly has said that Jordan Matthews is the slot receiver. He's going to stay there. And in matters like this, Chip Kelly seems to be stuck, you know, seems to be stuck on what he says. That's why Brandon Boykin is always going to be the slot corner, never anything else. Aguilar's just a playmaker. You know, get the ball in his hands, he'll make things happen. The only downside I can think of, apart from, you know, he will have to run with the weight of my expectation on him every week, is that he's in an equal opportunity offense that literally Chip Kelly can just decide, no, today we're not going to go to you. We're going to go to someone else. And this thing, Chip Kelly is... He's like Belichick light. He hates your fantasy team. He'll do what he thinks right. He's not going to look and think, everyone's got Aguilar, eh? Screw you. It's a Josh Huff day.
I'm using that as a quote. Screw you, it's a Josh Huff day. I love that.
It's definitely going to happen sometimes throughout the year. No, I couldn't agree more in regards to Josh Aguilar. Nelson Aguilar.
We wish his name was Josh.
Yeah. On the outside, I really feel that people are drafting Jordan Matthews far too high, thinking that he's going to be the main man in Philadelphia, when I really think it's the opposite way around. I pretty much just feel that Nelson Aguilar, he's not going to probably get the same numbers as DeSean and things like that, but he's going to come into the Maclin role and play that position.
And it was reported today by Jill Brandt that Broncos offered to trade up to Philly and offered multiple picks, and they said no because they wanted to stay strong and take Aguilar. So I don't know if Denver arrived enough Aguilar, maybe, because...
I think they wanted Ogabui.
They might have tried. Yeah, okay. But still, that's how strong that you know, they love Nelson Aguilar. He's a perfect fit, and he's a packed
player.
Oh, no,
it's great.
Chip Kelly knows him.
He has all the same measurables and things as Maclin. It was crazy.
He, on that mock draftable tables, he is 99.2% Reggie Wayne. That is incredible.
I'll have that.
You'll have Reggie Wayne in a Chip Kelly offense. I'll take that every day. And just some, I know you talk about gambling on your on the MDDF pod, Neil. A lot of prop bets have it over under 700 yards for Nelson Aguilar. I would take the over 700 yards every day of the week.
I would.
Yeah, I'd push towards 900.
Yeah, just when you see what's happened, as I say, with the X receivers. I mean, even though, you know, it's a run-based offense, well, you know, Maclin and Jackson both got 1,300 yards receiving. So 700's a very, very low spot.
Yep.
They'll change that, don't worry. They'll realise they made a mistake with that pretty soon.
That's it. All right.
I've checked again. Johnson, it must be the wide receiver, because in another ADP, I've got him down at 100.
Yeah. Thank God. Jesus, man. Come on. You had one job. All right, my last riser before Woot gives us his is, I'm going to say every Saints player not named Drew Brees, because by their draft, it seems to me that they're going to run the football, they added Andres Pete. They're talking about putting him in their offensive line, even over Zach Streif, when they might be moving him around. They re-signed Mark Ingram. They brought in Max Unger, signed CJ Spiller. It looks to me like they're going to run the ball a lot. And the fact that they didn't draft a wide receiver or a tight end, even if they pass it, you know, I expect Drew Brees to probably pass it 100 passes less this year than he did previous year.
100.
I'll go on record with that. I'll put it on the board
Do you think...
I'll put it on the wager wall.
Do you think that the running game will be strong enough that Drew Brees isn't going to have to throw to come back?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're just going to run it. They're just going to try and play strong. They're going to ground and pound it. That's what strong they want to do. I don't think it's going to be strong enough, but I don't think he's going to throw it nearly enough. And I think Brandon Cooks now, stock's risen a little bit. And Josh Hill, the fact that they didn't draft a tight end, Max Williams was sitting there for them, and they didn't take him. yeah, so Josh Hill, I think he will be overdrafted, though, so I'm not too keen on him, but I think every Saints player not named Drew Brees. I ain't touching Drew Brees this year. He's going way too high for my liking. I don't have him in my top 10.
Most rankings have him around 5th.
I don't have him in my top 10.
Wow.
I'll go on record right now. Drew Brees will not finish in the top 10 at quarterbacks. Do you agree or disagree with?
Ooh, that's tough, because I'd have him very late in the 10. It's just hard.
All right, we'll leave it. We'll let it hang there. What do you reckon, Neil? Weigh in.
Yeah, I agree with, you know, that everyone seems to be in the building at the moment. The people there who aren't called Drew Brees should all be looking forward to 2015, especially Mark Ingram, who he got 964 yards rushing last year at 4.3 yards a clip.
He missed time.
Exactly, and he only had 226 carries, so with no Pierre Thomas there, they're probably going to throw it less. That number will probably go up 270 to 300, so again, the volume's going to be there, so the opportunity's there. Josh Hill, you know, again, is Sean Payton's new, you know, he's his love thing. He can't stop talking about him, but he's not going to be Jimmy Graham, but he's still the best tight end on an offense that, if it wants to throw the ball, it can. I'm just not sure how often it will, but... Yeah. If you're going to, you know, tight ends, wait. If you don't get Rob Gronkowski, sit and wait.
That's right. And I think Drew Brees kind of deserves this, you know, after posting his little Jimmy Graham photo. Mate, just take your pay rise and you keep Jimmy Graham there, all right?
Pay cut?
Take your pay cut, sorry. Stop your pay rise, all right?
Dip a stutter.
Just, all right, okay. He just, you know, he's been a brat. I'm not a Brees fan. I'm out there. All right. Before I destroy the Saints organisation from the ground up.
We need another riser.
Yes, before we hit the fallers.
Alright, I hate to be staying on Philly.
Yeah.
But here we go. Alright, this is a little left field.
Do you know where I'm going? No, I don't.
I never draft a quarterback early.
Yeah.
I've never drafted a quarterback early. I can't think of... I drafted a quarterback last year.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm pretty sure I did it maybe the year before that. I know I drafted consecutive quarterbacks last year.
Yeah.
If you look at all the late quarterbacks that you can have after 10, you can still have Jay Cutler. He's still going to have to throw the ball because Forte is getting on. You've got Kaepernick there, who I think is going to be improved this year.
I looked at the Bears roster. I'm doing roster reviews right now on a spreadsheet, and the Bears defense is still... The secondary is still awful, so Bears are going to be down a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
However, I think in this opportunity, I think Bradford, I've always still been high on Bradford, but I think he is the... You could easily, even if you drafted Mark Sanchez as well, as a backup, I honestly believe that you could stream Philly quarterbacks throughout the season. You would also have to pick up someone else. However... I don't think Bradford is such a hashtag Bradford believer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do think he is a viable fantasy option. Obviously not every week. It depends on the defense.
That's going to work. Hashtag Bradford believer. You going to get behind it, Neil?
It's a big if, and it's a huge if. It's an if that could come round and kick you in the leg and shatter your ACL again. If Bradford can stay fit, this offense, you look at the quarterbacks who put numbers in it. Michael Vick, Nick Foles, Sanchez, if he played all last year, was getting 5,000 yards.
that's Eagles, crazy.
That's staggering. The Eagles have never had a 4,000-yard passer. They're one of only three teams in NFL history who haven't had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards. Please, that's one of the things. I want that to end before we win a Super Bowl as well. Just get that particular monkey off the Eagles' back. If he can stay healthy, the pieces in the offense and the offensive scheme, I he's going to fall late. I mean, ADP, he's going after Colin Kaepernick. I'd have him over Colin Kaepernick if he stays fit in this offense.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'd probably have him 14, 15, but he could, if he stayed healthy the whole season, big if.
As you said, but if he doesn't, and you've also drafted Mark Sanchez... Mark Sanchez is on his way to a 5,000-yard season. So you're right. For the 14th-ranked quarterback, the Philly quarterback situation is ideal.
So why would you reach and try? What's
I don't know. Colin Kaepernick has Jared Hayne this year. So,
that's incredible. But do you think you would pick up like, okay, there's someone who's going to still draft Drew Brees, you know, in round 5 or something.
Some idiot.
Why would there's you pick him, or, see, even Matt Ryan, even though I think he's going to have an improved year, why would you draft him and say between the 5th to the 8th when you could draft Bradford that late?
Right now, I'd take Bradford and Sanchez in round 14 over Drew Brees in round 8 any day. Any day in this this year.
Who would you pick in preference? Would you pick Peyton in the 3rd or Bradford in the 14th?
Bradford in the 14th. And I love Peyton, but like, I mean, Kubiak's going to run the ball more, I think, and I think CJ Anderson's in for a big year. But yeah, I agree with you, and it's out of left field, but Bradford's definitely a riser. And look, the fact that he didn't get traded, you know, Bradford at Philly is infinitely better than Bradford in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I'll take that. Speaking of, speaking of downs.
St. Louis?
What?
Bradford?
but I'm saying if he got traded in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, or Cleveland. Speaking of, you know, bad teams, let's start with some downs. I'll start straight off with Marquez Wilson. The dream is over for the hot Bears, not attractive-wise, but he was a popular, a sleeper among many before Kevin White got taken. Now that Kevin White's there, they paid a huge amount of money for Eddie Royal. So I can't see Marquez Wilson taking the field, and I think... you know, the dream's over. Neil.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's this thing, you know, he was, for like 3 weeks, Marquez Wilson was a starting wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. That's like, you know, on the first match of a cricket season a few years ago, I scored a run off the first ball. I became the leading scorer in the league. It lasted for about 3 overs. But I can always say I did it.
Wait, you score runs in cricket?
I occasionally
score. I didn't think Englishmen did that.
It's one of those things, you know, it's the best way to make sure you get a game is to let the opposition bat first, because then you're guaranteed you're going to be in the field for 50 or so overs. Whereas if you bat first, there's a good chance the game's over by, you know, before tea.
Yeah, that's true.
Wilson, you know, is one of those people. He was talked up a bit last year, especially when Marshall was injured. But then they go out and, you know, the first pick, they go out and take a... Kevin White. So straight away you're saying to Wilson, no, you're very important. We really like you. Have you met Kevin?
That's right. Have you met Kevin?
It's so... this whole Eddie Royal, Kevin White thing, I really don't know how much they're going to use Eddie Royal. It's just... You pay him that much, you feel like they have to use him, but then...
Who knows? John Fox. I still don't get John Fox. Kevin White's going to be great because he's got the stray hand teeth.
Straight into,
yeah.
And you just still know that Alshon Jeffery's the man.
Yeah, and you know
he was the man last year. Yeah. Can we all not?
Yeah. Alshon's the beast. We also know Perryman's going to be really smooth because he's got that Stevie Wonder haircut. He's got that receding hairline with the dreadlocks. All right, Woot, give us a loser or a faller.
Anyone who's a wide receiver and goes to Kansas City, I feel has to be a loser.
Really?
So I feel that Jeremy Maclin, going from his position that he ended up on last year,
yes,
to becoming a receiver in at Kansas City,
who
didn't throw a single touchdown to a wide receiver, is that correct?
Wow, is that a stat? I've never heard that one before.
Oh, is that correct? Anyway, that's just a huge downfall. People are still going to draft him, not high, obviously higher than last year because he was coming off the ACL. However,
I think he's going to... People are going to just... I actually think Maclin might be a steal this year because everyone's going to be cold on him, that he might just slip into the right. If you get him as a flex, I'll take that. He's not a wide receiver too.
Oh, no, he's not.
But if he's
flex, he's going to Kansas City as a wide receiver one.
Yeah.
And people, I still think, are going to draft him as a wide receiver one or two.
Mm.
Maybe not a one. Maybe.
Yeah. All right, thoughts on that, Neil, before you give us someone who's fallen because of the draft.
If on paper, Jeremy Maclin is going, he's a huge upgrade on Dwayne Bowe, he's a better player than Bowe, he's coming off a better season, but he has a quarterback whose average depth of target last year was 6 yards, I think only 10% of his throws went over 20 yards. This, you know, so straight away it's a congratulations, you know, welcome. You're going to be a PPR beast, but you're not going to score. You're not going to get many yards.
He'll
get lots of catches, but if he wants to visit that end zone thing very often, he probably should have taken less money and stayed in Philly.
Yeah, but, you know, that's his home. That's where he grows up. His girlfriend went there. He went to college there. Andy Reid's there. So I can see why he went there. I just, I can see the end zone not being somewhere where he'll find.
Future. Yeah, prominently.
Yes.
He'll go for more barbecue joints with Andy Reid, then he'll go to the end zone.
Nice. Over under barbecue joints on Andy Reid and Jeremy Macklin. We'll set it at 4. All right, Neil, give us a faller.
Another faller is Alfred Morris. Who seems to have been, especially since Jay Gruden turned up in Washington, he seems to have this huge grudge against him. His yards per carry were down last year. Straight away, they didn't use him as much. They get rid of Roy Helu, and then they bring in Matt Jones. And Matt Jones is, I was going to say, he's a much better pass receiver. Well, to be honest, my two-year-old daughter's a better pass receiver than Alfred Morris. It just seems that Morris is being very quietly, and, you know, because obviously there's all the tensions on RG3, but Washington just thinking, if we can quietly run Alfred Morris out of here, let's do it.
Is this the last year of Alfred Morris's contract?
Correct.
Yes.
I really, not that I'm disagreeing with you, because I still think he's, you know, on the down. However, I kind of have this, you know, feeling, this mentality that they're going to do similar to what Dallas did with DeMarco last year and completely run him into the ground before they let him go.
That would imply a plan, and something Washington don't do well.
Well, they haven't historically done well, but Scott McLuhan that's come in there seems to have a general idea on what he's doing. I'm impressed with what he's done lately. But Jay Gruden is a massive
snide in a cupboard.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that...
Not heard from him.
I'm surprised that Dan Snyder gave him control in the draft room. But, yeah, you know, Scott McLuhan is a beautiful, beautiful, majestic, tall ship, and Jay Gruden is a massive, massive anchor on that ship. And it's just, you know, holding him down. So
rhymes with anchor.
Great work.
That's going to be a segment. Yeah. Rhymes with anchor.
Rhymes with anchor. Neil, you're killing it today, mate.
You're helping us out.
Yeah. All right. I'll go with the Colts wide receivers as a loser. I think now with Philip Dorsett there, I know they don't have to rush him in, but he's a first-round pick, so you expect him to feature, you know, somewhat in the game plan. I think now it's just so hard. Is there enough, you know, game balls are going to, and they're going to run it more with Frank Gore. So I think Andrew Luck's going to be, you know, a top two quarterback this year like he was last year. But I just think, you know, Andre Johnson's there now, T.Y. Hilton's there, Jerron Carter, Dante Moncrief, Philip Dorsett. It's just too many.
Is Dorsett above Moncrief?
Probably not. Probably not. Maybe by week 4 or 5 he might be, but Moncrief's good. Moncrief's a great player, and so is Dorsett by what I can see. It's just crazy. Who I think will be the best for the Colts is the tight ends, because now that this middle of the field is going to be wide open for them. So I'm not touching a Colts wide receiver this year, unless, you know, people are going cold on Moncrief and he slides all the way down the bottom. But barring an injury, it's just not enough game balls to go around. Woot.
Oh, my next player.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, we are kind of doing a podcast here.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with the Browns running backs.
Yep.
Browns running backs. Actually,
okay.
No,
you're changing your mind.
Yeah, I am.
I'm after going, I cross them out,
I'm going Lions running backs. How about we go that?
Okay.
Amir Abdullah.
Yes.
That kid. All right, we'll start.
We'll start.
We'll start. Sorry, I just wanted you to press the button.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. They brought him in, obviously, for a reason. You can. We've always been high on Joique Bell.
Yes.
We were never high on Reggie Bush.
No.
Correct?
Never got high on Bush.
No, we've never got high on Bush. Wow, this is a great podcast.
just quality.
Yeah. Theo Riddick, I think, is, you know, slowly sliding towards the door. But do you think Amir Abdullah is going to come in and take the Reggie Bush role? Or do you think... I still think he's going to take more of...
He's an every down back in Nebraska.
Exactly. So I kind of feel
he's
that...
he's tiny.
I still feel they're going to more split the carries with Joique Bell than it was going to be the Joique Bell role and the Reggie Bush role.
I think Abdullah and Theo Riddick's an upgrade over Bush. So is that what you mean?
Yeah, kind of. But, like, see, last year we were completely happy, you and I, drafting Joique Bell as our second.
Yeah.
Our second running back.
Yeah.
And we were completely fine with that. This year, if he was my second running back, I'd be completely disappointed.
Yeah, I'd be a bit concerned. I'd be a little bit worried. I'm not hugely worried about Bell, but I'm worried about Abdullah sneaking in and impressing coaches and taking time. I'm also worried they got Zach Zenner, who I love, and I think he'll be their fullback, and he'll also he could sneak some goal line carries because he is a fullback, but he's a running back as well, essentially. So I agree with you.
I really would like to take Abdullah late in the draft if possible. I think he's a
target of mine in a rookie draft. Not this year, maybe long term. I think maybe next year.
Right,
might be a start. Neil, do you agree or disagree?
No, I agree. Joik Bell has got, in the last 2 years, he scored 8 touchdowns and 7 touchdowns, which has helped his fantasy value an awful lot. With the likes of Zinner coming in, though, that's, as you say, that's goal line work. Then you start looking at Joik Bell's 3.9-yard carries and think, yeah, I don't really want that, so I'm going to look elsewhere. Mm. He's very, very touchdown dependent because he doesn't get an awful lot of yards. Again, they're not the best run-blocking team, Detroit, even though, again, they do say they'd like to. But if you take the touchdowns away from Joik Bell, it's not that appealing an option.
No, but that's the thing with their offense. It's a high-octane offense. They score a lot. So, you know, that's what you draft Joik Bell for, because you know he's going to get those goal-line carries. But as you said with Zena there, that's a little bit of a concern. You drop him down your rankings a little bit. Neil, another faller.
A faller, it's not so much a huge faller because there's circumstances that may come together that help him, but Lamar Miller probably isn't as an attractive a selection as he was. I'm not saying the boy, Ajayi, you know, the London-born boy, who obviously we're all backing now, he's a lot better out the backfield, assuming he's fit, which again, all the injury question marks seem to be about an injury that's 4 years old. Well, I've got socks older than 4 years old. They're still going there strong. underpants if you want to push it. And I just think, you know, Lamar Miller is in a contract year. He wants to gain weight, which I can see the reason, but
nah,
it's a bit, you know, weird. Yeah, it's an odd one. And I just think that it's to a lesser extent, it's a bit like the Sean McCoy in the Eagles offense. He's been very productive in it. But I don't think that Chip Kelly wanted him in it. Lamar Miller's been quite productive in Bill Lazor's offense, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's ideal for it. And maybe with bringing in Ajayi, they're probably thinking he might certainly cut into Lamar Miller, into his workload, and may well overtake him.
Mm, I agree there. I think Ajayi could steal some goal line carries. You take that Tom Coughlin school of thought. You know, he's a bit bigger, so we'll use him on the goal line, sort of like Andre Williams or Andre Brown. I'll stick with the Dolphins and wide receivers, and in particular Kenny Stills. We'll have to hurry this up. We're running a little bit late, but I think with Devontae Parker there, similar thing to the Colts, there's a lot of players there, and I think Devontae Parker is similar to the routes that Kenny Stills runs. You know, he can go deep and he also can go underneath. So I think in that offense, I'd be avoiding Kenny Stills. I think his ADP is a little bit too high for me. I still think Jarvis Landry is going to see a lot of balls in that offense with Bill Lazor and Ryan Tannehill. So I still like Jarvis Landry, but I'm not jumping over, you know, through hoops for Kenny Stills or Devontae Parker. Woot.
Final one?
Yep.
It's a toss up. All right, we're just going to go.
Did you just call me? No.
We're going to go the Dallas running back situation.
Yes.
Until there's some clarification there, whether they're really favorite, they're really, you know, falling in love with one of the guys, yeah, or they you know, trade for Adrian Peterson, or they cut someone. I don't want to go near it. If you get lucky, pretty much like everyone did with DeMarco Murray last year, even though it wasn't the same situation.
Mm.
If they wait and it turns out to be very similar rushing attack for Dallas, you're going to pick up a steal, especially if they feature one main back.
Yep.
So do you think that's, like, if it's McFadden or Randall or whoever?
I think whoever they announce will be overdrafted.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just think, you know, fantasy is always about drafting the best player in the best opportunity, not so much the best talented player.
Yeah.
When you look at talent alone, probably, you know, Darren McFadden showed that he's talented, but at his age now, I would say probably Ryan Williams is the most talented running back in that situation. But will he be drafted first? Probably not, because he's not high on the pecking order. I think, you know, Joseph Randall's the incumbent. I think he's the favourite at the moment. Darren McFadden, they've offered some, you know, You know, it actually offered Ryan Williams the highest guaranteed money, but McFadden has the potential to make the most money. So it's a little bit confusing when you look at the numbers as well. Neil?
Dallas is the running back position is the poster boy for having your fantasy draft as late as you possibly can, just to try and see if you're desperate to take a Dallas running back, just to see if this situation clears up during throughout preseason.
Yeah,
I mean, they've bought McFadden in, they've given him a fair amount of money, but after previous years, I'd rather watch my daughter fall down the stairs into a vat of acid than draft Darren McFadden. She understands this as well. She'd be game for this. But he's one of those players who's burnt you too often. Even if they say he's the starter, well, he won't be by week four. So it's a complete mess, and it's a situation that you think any competent running back is going to have value because of how good the offensive line is.
If Zach Zenner ended up in Dallas, oh my god, my mouth would be watering. Someone like that. And even Duke Johnson, you mentioned the Browns running backs before and then did a pivot. If he ended up in Dallas, that would just be, you know, ideal. But now him and Isaiah Crowell will be milking carries off each other. So they're some other losers. But that's pretty much
all. One important thing, though. Yep. Just quick one. They go on about how good a job Scott Linehan did calling the offense last year. They did have Bill Callahan as the offensive line coach, and he did seem to keep Linehan in check an awful lot. Callahan's gone now. Linehan throws the ball. It's a question now whether he's got this check to say, no, we'll just run it, or whether he'll just go back to being pass happy.
Mm. Did not know about Callahan, so that was an interesting nugget from Neil.
I'm glad you chimed in.
Yes, all right, that's all we got time for. We did have a lot of other names on that list. We might tweet them out over the course of the next few days, generate some chatter. So please, if you agreed or disagreed with us, please tweet us. I'm at JYNFL.
I'm at Josh Woot.
You can follow us at Woot and Y, and you can follow Neil on...
at NDutton13.
Yes, so generate the chat out, whether you agree, disagree, throw up some suggestions yourself. We love to interact and have that debate on Twitter. And please, don't start drafting now. Draft in August.
Mock draft now, if you want.
You can mock draft now. ESPN mock drafts are over. And that's all we've got time for. Peace out.
See you, guys.